When Jesus cursed a fig tree for not bearing fruit, he was telling us that his followers had better bear fruit he could approve. As the poet wrote, "Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Today, some lessons we can take home from a very serious event in the life of Jesus right before his own death. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our study is taken from Matthew chapter 21. Dr. Lutzer comes now with three life-transforming lessons. First, the greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility.
Israel was given the covenants. They were given all of the blessings of God. God was the one who planted them, who nourished them, who gave them the nutrients to bear fruit, and they didn't. And because their responsibility was so great, their judgment was so great. So let's keep in mind that it is God who says that unto whom much is given, much is required. We look at America today. Think of what God has given us, the strongest military power in the world. No one on planet Earth even comes close to the military might of the United States. Think of our Christian heritage. We used to say 15 or 20 years ago that we live in a post-Christian environment. That's no longer true. We have to say that today we live in an anti-Christian environment, where Christianity is spoken against deliberately. It is being attacked. And that's the environment in which we live. And yet look at the blessings that God gave to this country. Think of the Bibles that we have. And anyone can walk into a bookstore in the United States and buy a Bible. Think of the radio programs. Think of the books. Think of the television programs that preach the gospel. And there are some, a few, but there are some. And think of the opportunities that people have to believe on Jesus. What a phenomenal act of blessing God has given to this country. But, unto whom much is given, much is required. And we do not yet know how God may judge us. But that's true individually too, isn't it? Unto whom much is given, much is required. How many Bibles do you have in your home? How many of them are read? How much of your time, of your discretionary time, is spent doing those things that are going to have eternal and lasting influence? Unto whom much is given, much is required. There's a second lesson. And this is difficult for us to receive in an atmosphere that's been created by the modern Zeitgeist, that is, the spirit of the age. God does not only bless. God does not only bless, God also judges and condemns. Is that hard for you to receive? Today we have people on television, the wealth and health people, who tell us that it is God's intention to bless you, to heal you, to give you money. And it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the kind of life that you live. All that we do is we give an invitation to anyone and anyone, because all that God ever does is bless. I want you to know today that that is not scriptural. It is twisting the scriptures to fit the spirit of the times, the itching ears of those who are listening. During the time when, after 9/11, when all of those signs said, "God bless America," you would have been laughed out of court. In fact, you'd have gotten people angry if you'd have said, "Well, God not only blesses, but there are times when He judges, and let's not be so sure that we are going to receive one without receiving the other." That was, wie man sagt in Deutsch, verboten. That is forbidden. You don't talk that way. And yet Joshua said, "Behold, I put before you blessing and cursing." And we think that God only has blessing. No, there are times also when God has judgment. And I appeal to you today as my friend, if we were having tea together in my study. I'd like to be able to look into your eyes and to say, have you made sure that your eternity is secure in Christ because you have turned from the leaves of profession and you have begun to live the reality of knowing God personally? God not only blesses, God judges. The reason that so many people have a problem with this story is because they don't have a balanced view as to how the New Testament presents Jesus. I had someone say to me, well, Jesus was totally against war because all that he taught was love. Oh, yeah? You read the book of Revelation. And you read the book of Revelation, and you soon discover that Jesus is into war. In fact, he comes riding on a horse, making war against everyone who's not received him as Messiah. Not only is that a misreading of the Bible, it's also a misreading of history. If I had time, I would show you that as you look at history, you can see here that there's a side of God that we do not want to accept, namely, the side that can not only bless, that we accept, but the side that can condemn. I plead with you today to take the opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life, lest you be on the wrong side of that ledger. There's a final lesson, and that is no root, no fruit. No root, no fruit. What a strong statement. Peter, looking at this tree, says that it was withered from the roots. You can be assured that the words of Jesus were completely fulfilled when he said, "No one shall ever eat fruit from you again." Not another grape, not another fig, not another orange, not another apple would ever grow on a tree that has been cursed by Christ. No root, no fruit. And that's why if we looked beneath the leaves, we discover that there are people who look like Christians, but they don't really love God, which is a very essential mark of the life of God. They may live for themselves, but they don't live for God. There is no concern, no spiritual life. There's no connection. And the reason that they have to work so hard at bearing fruit is because they can't bear fruit because their root has not been planted by God. I love to tell the story of a true story that happened in Canada. When all of these houses along a boulevard all agreed that this group of men that showed up on their step belonging to a certain company, all the houses agreed that what they would do is they'd get together and pool their resources so evergreen trees could be planted all along the boulevard. So all of the homeowners cooperated. Obviously, they had to cooperate to make their boulevard look green. And so the men came and planted all of the evergreens and took their money and left. And the people, God bless them, they were left with the responsibility of watering the evergreens, maybe throwing some fertilizer on the evergreens, doing all they possibly could. And within time, every single one turned brown. Everyone, they couldn't figure it out. Until one person had the presence of mind to just pluck one of those evergreens out of the ground, and he discovered that what the men had done is simply take branches of evergreens and shove them into the ground. No root system. The evergreens were green for a while, but no root, no fruit. Listen to me today. Jesus said this, every tree which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up. What you need to do is to make sure that you've been planted by God. He plants us. He waters us. He nurtures us so that we belong to Him, so that we can be fruit-bearing Christians. Back in the 1800s, a man by the name of Reverend Conaway preached on the same text that I was preaching from today. And in his congregation, there was a woman by the name of Lucy Ackerman. She went home and she wrote a poem that later on got turned into a song that we used to sing. And the stanza at least goes like this. Nothing but leaves for the master. Oh, how his loving heart grieves when instead of the fruit he is seeking, we offer him nothing but leaves. Why were you created? So what is the purpose of life? It's to satisfy Christ, who comes looking for the fruit that brings glory to His name. Tozer, the one whom we like to quote, who wrote many books, said, O God, glorify Yourself in my life at my expense. Send me the bill. I establish no cost. There is no other purpose to live. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to talk with you for just a moment about your own soul. Have you been planted by God? I gave several illustrations in this message of people who apparently seemed to be planted by God. They at least had the green leaves that Jesus Christ spoke about. But the bottom line is that there was very little fruit, or perhaps no fruit at all. Love, joy, peace, all of those things that God wants to create within our hearts, things that He must create within our hearts if they are there. So, are you saved? That's another way of putting it. And I mention that because from time to time, Jesus warned about the possibility of people who thought that they had faith. In fact, in one of the most stinging passages, He said, many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in Your name? And in Your name we have done many wonderful works. It appears as if it is fruit, more than leaves. And yet Jesus will say, depart from Me, I never knew you. The bottom line is this. If you have never transferred your trust to Jesus Christ, if you have never admitted your great sinfulness and your inability to save yourself, if you've never cast yourself upon the work that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and the resurrection, you may not be planted by God. And remember the words of Jesus, every plant My Heavenly Father has not planted, will be rooted up.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding his Palm Sunday message, The High Cost of Lost Opportunities. For the disciples, the sorrow of the cross would explode into joy as Jesus is raised from the dead. Tomorrow, join us for a message on Resurrected Dreams. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This week's Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday messages will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.